And today I'm with Jeff Brown. He is a resident of Nashville, Tennessee, home of the Grand Ole Opry and lots of great music. And he comes to us by way of the Rochester, New York area, but he's been down there in Tennessee for a long time. So, Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Bob. Thanks.
Yeah, it's. I got really excited when I saw your work. You were recommended by our friends over at the Inspired Eye, and which is always a good recommendation. Came from Don over there, and so I was glad he recommended you talk to us. And you do some really interesting street work. And today we're actually going to be talking about a project Jeff is doing, which is basically photographing in and around his local area, Nashville. And we're going to hopefully do a whole series on people who do focus on their local area. So, Jeff, before we really get into the nitty-gritty, I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into photography and you know, what attracts you to it.
Okay. Well, I'm 53 years old. As far as my getting into photography, I took my first photograph. I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Using a plastic camera, I photographed my buddy next door. That was the beginning and pretty much the end of my photography journey until probably, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. I had had cameras. I'd shot film cameras on and off over the years, but never, you know, only just as a, you know, casual thing. Never was really into it. 4 or 5 years ago, a girlfriend I was with had a camera that I liked a lot. It was a little Sony bridge camera, basically, and I liked it a lot, and she surprised me with one for Christmas. And I really took to that camera, and that really kind of got things going for me, I guess. The bug really just bit me then. And it was an interesting camera because I could shoot full manual with it, and that's what I really made myself do, was shoot manual so that I could understand how, you know, cameras really worked. And that really got the ball rolling for me, and I really got into shooting street stuff really just over the last few months. You know, I had done a lot of different types of photography, you know, rural based stuff, you know, landscapes, et cetera. But I found myself heading downtown more and more often, and I was shooting with a DSLR at that time. And I found myself more drawn to what was going on, you know, in the streets here in town. And so I was doing more and more of that type of shooting, and just kind of just found myself drawn more and more to it. And the DSLR was not really the best tool for the job, you know. And so in January, I bought a Ricoh GR Digital. And have been using that since, and have really been hitting it pretty hard. Most of the photos that are up on my blog and on Flickr are taken with that camera. It's a great little camera. So anyway, that's kind of where I began and where I'm at now with street shooting.
Yeah, I noticed you do a lot of your shooting at night, and they're just, I mean, the photos are just so sharp. Is that the Ricoh, is that... Is that a 28 millimeter lens effective length on there?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 28.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are shooting with that. And so is that where you're doing most of your street shooting, like downtown? You know, I see a lot of nightlife photos.
Well, Nashville is, you know, it's an interesting place to shoot. And we have, of course, the whole entertainment industry here in town. And it's not a huge, the entertainment district itself is not huge. You know, it covers a few blocks, and I do spend a fair amount of time down there shooting. And I think I prefer shooting at night because I can isolate subjects a little bit better against the backdrop. You know, the music is the main focus. If I go downtown to Lower Broadway, I'm around all the clubs, and there are bands playing in every club. And you've got a steady stream of people going up and down the streets, just going from one place to another, tourists from out of town. You've got locals. You've got some, you know, homeless people walking around, you know, kind of a variety of people that are hanging out there. And the bars themselves are interesting. The band thing, you know, I'm not really interested so much in photographing bands and the music directly, you know, itself. What interests me more is how people are interacting against that whole backdrop. The band thing has been photographed to death. You know, the clubs have been photographed to death. Some have done it really well, and, you know, some really bad, and everything in between. You can do a Google search and find tons of pictures of Nashville nightclubs. But I don't see a whole lot of what's going on outside the clubs in the streets with the people. So I'm kind of drawn to that. And I think, again, maybe part of the reason why I shoot at night is because I can maybe isolate subjects a little bit better, and not emphasize the backdrop quite so much as the people themselves, if that makes any sense. The lighting is also cool, too. I mean, you've got lighting from the clubs, and you get some interesting shadow play and contrast things going on, too. So that's kind of interesting.
Do you find there are many other street shooters in the Nashville area?
Not that I have come across. No, and I have looked. There's a couple other guys that do some shooting. There's one guy who I've run across. I haven't talked to him or met him. there's a hot dog vendor downtown, and we've gotten to be friends just from my hanging around down there. And he's got a friend who shoots street. And we haven't met yet, but I'm sure we will at some point. And his, what I've seen of his stuff is he seems to shoot mostly musicians, either in the clubs or street musicians. And there are a lot of street musicians here, too. Of course, you know, they're out playing their music, and they've got their guitar case open, and people are throwing a buck in the case and, you know, that sort of thing. Again, that's just, it doesn't really interest me that much. It's just kind of a one-dimensional thing for the most part, and it just doesn't really draw me. But no, I there probably are, Bob, but I haven't, you know, aside from one or two other people, I haven't come across anybody.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we talk to people all over the world who are street photographers, and for example, London has a ton of them, a lot of really good photographers, and actually they have a pretty nice community of street photographers. New York, thousands. Los Angeles, there's a really good group of people, and they all seem to know each other. Other cities, it doesn't seem to be. I live in the Cleveland area. I'm trying to find other people in Cleveland interested in street photography. So if you're listening to this, reach out to me, and which is one of the reasons I want to start featuring people like yourself. Who are in, I mean, it's definitely not an out-of-the-way place. I guess we're all in flyover states, you know, but who are in their local community and they're out shooting on the street, you know, whatever's going on out there. And
yeah,
you're lucky you're in a really vibrant town. Hey, any of these bars or any of them, the Bluebird?
The Bluebird is not downtown. The Bluebird is outside of the general entertainment district, but that's a really popular place for songwriters. That's famous.
Okay, so it's a real place then.
Oh yeah, it is.
I watched the TV show Nashville, so
you know, I've never watched that show.
I know some other people from there who have never watched it either, so
yeah. I'm not a TV guy. I watch very little TV, but no, I've never watched that show. I have no idea what they do or what it's about. Maybe I should check it out.
Yeah, so you don't even know about Raina James, huh?
No. Who's Raina James?
Oh, she's one of the fictional country western singers. forget the actress's name. She was in Friday Night Lights, the show about football. But her ex-husband is the mayor of Nashville.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Mayor Dean.
Yeah, except his name is Mayor something or other. I can't even remember. Okay. But, you know, it's a little bit of light trash to watch, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't want to digress. So obviously you spend a lot of time shooting in and around Nashville, and you could be doing anything with your photography, but this really, I mean, appears to me to be a real project of yours. Why choose this subject?
I just kind of gravitated to it. Like I said earlier, you know, I started out and, you know, with the camera and learning how to use it and doing landscapes and kind of rural type photography. And from there, it kind of, you know, I found myself drawn to people like Dorothea Lange and Walker Evans and the whole, you know, the WPA photographers, you know, and their work. And that was obviously more people oriented, and I really liked it. And so I got to doing some of that kind of stuff. You know, I'd be driving out in the country, and I can think of one couple. One day I was out driving on a back road someplace, and that's something I love to do, is just get in the truck and drive and get myself lost someplace, you know, on the boonies. And I was out driving one day and drove by a little rundown house with a big chicken coop next to it. And there was a couple, an elderly couple, sitting out in front of it. And I drove by, and about 10 seconds went by, and I said, you know, you got to go back there. So I turned the truck around and went back, and I pulled in their driveway and talked to them and had my camera and asked if I could take some pictures of them. And they were cool. They were great. So I clicked off a bunch of snaps, a bunch of photos of them. And I really, really liked that. It was, you know, an intimate moment with strangers. And there was just something about that I really liked. And in the photographs, you know, I got some keepers, you know, some nice shots from that. And just being able to look at those and stop time and immerse myself in that moment when I was there, you know, is a pretty nice thing. I enjoy that. And from there, it's just kind of gone into, you know, the urban thing, you know, being on the streets and looking at other people's work as well, just digging into it more. You know, I mean, I have a long list of street photographers who I like, and looking at that stuff and being drawn to it and going downtown with a camera and just doing it and coming home with a bunch of really bad pictures and, you know, and having a couple of keepers once in a while, you know, that made me think, well, you know, maybe I have an eye for doing this and, you know, enough to keep me going with it, you know. That's pretty much what I've done. It's the spontaneity of the street thing. It's going to the same place 100 times, but it always being different. You know, it's always different every time you go. The backdrop in Nashville is always the same, but the people are always different. And it's that spontaneity and that freshness that's really, I think that's a cool thing. You just never know what you're going to find.
No, that's true. You know, I think it's a lot like golf. I don't know if you're a golfer, but, you know, most of us are hackers, and we, you know, we're always hitting the ball in the woods or whatever, but there's always one good shot. maybe that's it. I mean, Tiger Woods, he has a good shot every time. The rest of us, maybe you get a couple in a day, and it always keeps you coming back.
Yep.
Same thing. You come home with a lot of clinkers, but maybe there's one you like, and it keeps you coming back.
Just enough to give you hope.
That's right. A little bit of hope. It's interesting you talked about driving around out in the hills and photographing the local people. I grew up in Appalachia myself. And, you know, it's a very different part of the country and often not even recognized by a lot of people in other parts of the country or the world. One of the first people I interviewed was a guy named Vern McClish. And he shot around Southern Ohio, where I'm from, and did some, just what you did, driving around in his Volkswagen van, taking photos of people out in the hills. He did some really interesting work. But I'm wondering about the things that you've done like that, whether you still continue to do it, and have you posted any of that work anywhere?
I haven't done much of that in a while. I've just been really sucked into, you know, being in the city and shooting there. It just fascinates me and I can't get enough of it. So I haven't gone and ventured out and done any rural stuff in a good while. I do have some pictures. I might have a couple of pictures up on Flickr with that. There's a series on this couple that I was talking about earlier that I did. I've got several, you know, kind of neat pictures from there, but I'm not sure if I've got those posted or not. It's something I'd like to revisit. I'd like to go back out there. After a while, you do get kind of tired of doing the same thing, even though the people are different. It's, you know, the environment is generally the same. And I'm a country boy at heart, so I do like to get out. And I like to fish and hunt and get outdoors and get out in the country. So I can feel myself gearing up to do that again. So maybe there'll be some more photos along those lines coming up.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope so. Maybe you'll look at it a little differently after having been on the street for so long.
Maybe so. It's a good point.
Yeah. So you're on the street in the city, and at nighttime, people are probably getting liquored up, especially if it's late. Do you run into many problems with people who've had too much to drink or a little rambunctious?
Occasionally. If I go downtown to shoot at night, I tend to go a little bit later. I may not go down there until 10 or 11 o'clock when people have gotten loose. And sometimes there are problems, but most of the time, you know, I don't have problems with anybody. The biggest problem that I have probably down there is not with people giving me a hard time. It's with people, you know, trying to photobomb or people that see you shooting and then they want to, you know, pose for you, which generally ruins a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you click a frame to make them happy and you move on. And that's the biggest problem I have. Now, yeah, I've had people get in my face and, you know, lecture me on how I'm not supposed to take pictures without asking permission and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, some of them are willing to listen to you and other ones don't want to hear anything you have to say. And, you know, you just deal with it.
Yep. No problem. I'll delete it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You look like crap anyway, lady. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's funny. A couple of weekends ago, I was downtown and, you see, women are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of women walking towards me at an angle and the lighting was nice and there were some nice shadows being cast from the streetlights and the one woman had on a long dress. She looked really good. And as they went past me, I clicked a couple of frames and they were just, you know, repulsed by that. What are you doing taking our pictures? You know, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I said, you know, what's ridiculous is that you spend how many hours at home getting yourself dressed up to look like this, to go out in public where you're seen by hundreds of people, and you think it's ridiculous to have a photographer take a picture of you. You know, that's ridiculous. And they just, you know, they huffed and walked away. And
I can imagine you don't take a lot of, you know what.
Well, I'm 6'2", 220. And I can handle myself, but I'm, you know, so I'm not looking to get into any mess with anybody, you know. I just want to take pictures. But if somebody's going to give me a hard time, you know, then, you know, you go for it, I guess. You know, I may get bloodied up, but you're not going to walk away without missing a tooth or something, you know, yourself. So it's never come to anything like that. Probably never will. But it's just interesting. People will ask me what I'm doing when I'm taking pictures of, because it just won't make sense to them that I'm photographing what to them is just a wall or, you know, a dark alley or something. And when you explain it to them, they're really just curious. And, you know, you explain to them what you do and why, and they find it interesting. So it runs the gamut from that to, you know, belligerent types, you know, who don't really want to hear anything you have to say and think they know the laws and the rules. So,
yeah, I've heard that one a lot myself.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody has.
So did this actually start out as a project in your mind, or did it just evolve into what you've been doing?
Just kind of evolved, you know. Like I said, I haven't really been shooting hard since January. You know, January is really when I got the Ricoh, and that's really when I started shooting a lot. And I'm just downtown trying to you know, get some decent shots and, you know, learn to use the camera and come up with something that looks halfway decent. And so I was posting stuff on my blog, and I never really had an idea of making it a project, per se, but I had a bunch of photos, and I just decided I'd start numbering them one day. So I went back through and edited them and just gave each photo a number. And so I just put up a picture or two every once in a while and number it, and Nashville number 150, and, you know, on and on it goes. And there's no end in sight. So, you know, I just go down and shoot. And I've never been skunked. I always come home with something halfway decent anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because some projects, I mean, people have planned out, and they might take a few days to do or happen over a period of a few months. And some are just kind of ongoing related subjects.
Yeah.
People do over sometimes an entire lifetime.
I have some projects I'd like to do. I'd like to photograph a demolition derby. I have a few demolition derby mm-hmm. pictures up on my Flickr site.
I saw them. I like them.
And I thought those were kind of cool. And I was thinking, how cool would it be to do a shoot from inside one of the cars? So I don't know what kind of hoops I have to jump through. I need to look into that with the warm weather coming up. But I'm wondering if it's possible that I could get in the back seat of one of these cars with, you know, the little camera and maybe a little video camera in the other hand, and just, you know, shoot pictures from inside one of the cars while the while we're getting bounced around.
Or maybe a GoPro.
Yeah, GoPro would be cool, too. That's probably been done.
Oh, I think they've strapped one of those things on everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's been done. So maybe, I don't know, maybe my project isn't such a great idea. But
just because somebody else has done it doesn't mean it's not worth doing. Nobody will have your vision.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think some still photos taken from inside a car might be kind of cool. You know, might be a neat thing. You get to see how a demolition derby occurs more from the driver's vantage point than a spectator in the, you know, stand somewhere.
Yeah, as long as you don't get your neck broken in the process.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. That would kind of suck.
But that would.
It would. I'd probably have to sign a bunch of releases, you know, before anybody probably let me get near one of the cars, which I would do that. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. If I could get in one of those cars and with a camera or two and just do some shooting, I think that'd be pretty neat. Might get some cool pictures.
Yeah, you may not want to be in the back seat because they back into each other, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. They do. That's how they do it. So I don't know. Don't know. I'm going to look into it, though. It's been on my mind for a little while.
So what kind of obstacles have you been facing as you kind of go through your night shooting?
Well, it's a challenge shooting at night. You're shooting high ISOs with your camera usually. I'm usually not shooting anything lower than 6,400, and quite often 12,800, you know, sometimes higher. I don't really mind that a lot of the time, though. The camera renders noise, you know, sensor noise. It's got a grain-like pattern to it that I don't really mind. And sometimes it kind of fits what I'm trying to do with an image anyway. So, but it is a challenge. And sometimes I wish I could shoot, you know, a cleaner image. So that's a challenge. Another challenge is downtown in that particular area is probably the only place in Nashville where I can really kind of disappear. There are enough people, there's enough density of people there that I can kind of melt into the background a little bit. So that's not always the case. So, you know, I'm always trying to do that as well. I don't want to be, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb to everybody. I want to be able to shoot photos without people knowing I'm shooting, obviously. So that's a challenge. but it's probably part of the reason why I'm shooting at night and why I shoot down there as much as I do. The rest of the city, it's really a different story. And I do a lot of daytime shooting, too. I just don't have a lot of daytime stuff up, I guess. But other parts of the city, you know, you don't have – it's not like New York where you've got 70,000 people per square mile or whatever it is. And you can just walk down the street and you've got all kinds of people everywhere. Nashville, you know, you look at old pictures of cities, and I'm sure Cleveland is probably the same way. Is Nashville and Louisville and, you know, most other cities. They no longer are, the downtown areas are no longer as vibrant as they used to be. You don't have department stores downtown. You don't have downtown areas that are the meeting place for people to congregate. You know, that has all moved to the suburbs, to the big box stores, and that's where people go to shop. And we don't have these, you don't have the amounts of people in the downtown areas like you used to have, you know. And I love looking at old photographs of Nashville because you can see what it was like. And there were people all over the place. And I can just imagine how great it must have been to, you know, be shooting, you know, the streets, you know, during those times. Now it is not like that. It's not like that here. So I'm walking around and I'm doing a lot of hip shooting. Because the people that I'm not camouflaged, I'm not in the background. I'm a guy on a street, you know, even though I have a compact camera, I'm still very noticeable. So, the challenge there is to get the shot without being seen. And that usually means, you know, shooting from the hip or with the camera at my side or, you know, whatever I can do to not make myself obvious.
So it's interesting that you say you're still noticeable even though you just have this little camera.
Well, if I'm holding it up, you know, and I'm looking through the viewfinder, mm-hmm. I mean, I've still got a camera in my hand. Although having a compact is definitely the way to go, I think, anyway.
Oh, no, I agree. Are you using a phone at all or just always the camera?
Just the camera. My cell phone takes – I don't have an iPhone. I just have a regular – I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone.
And a small bill.
Yes, I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
No data plan here.
You know, it's you talked about the big box stores and how the towns are so empty. And that's true. That's a challenge that a lot of us face. I mean, maybe it's just me. I don't feel... I just can't see good shots walking around in the suburbs where there are no people that aren't in cars or, you know, walking around a strip mall somewhere where people are driving in and driving out. And, you know, maybe there are a lot of good shots. I just don't see them. But you know, it's a challenge.
Yeah, it is. And I find myself driving around and sometimes stopping at strip malls and little pockets of places where there are a few stores, you know, and that's what you find around here. You know, I drive out of the center of downtown away from the entertainment district. And what I've got are pockets, you know, where there's a group of stores, maybe a half dozen stores, a bookstore, a music store, a nightclub, where there might be smaller amounts of people, you know, around. So that's a challenge to shoot. It's a challenge to shoot here in that way. The downtown area, you know, is probably the richest place to shoot. But it's not. I like blue collar themes a lot, and I'm not finding that downtown.
Mm-hmm. You
know, the backdrop there, it's music, it's tourism. There's a certain vibe that goes on there, and it's cool, and it's fun to shoot. But it's, you know, it's kind of one dimensional in that way. So I do drive around quite a bit, and I will go to other areas. I may find a building that looks interesting. I may find some lighting that looks interesting. Something interesting, you know, will cause me to stop and go check something out. And it may be a place that I return to, later you know, if the lighting is different, or just to check it out and see. So it's not always just a matter of, okay, I'm going downtown and shoot. It's, you know, going around to different areas and seeing what's out there. And sometimes you kind of got to, you know, pick your way around to find stuff. It's New York and London, you know, I mean, it's really, I lived in New York for 10 years in New York City. And I wasn't into photography at all at that time, which is a terrible regret. But, you know, you could just go anywhere there and just take pictures. I mean, what a rich environment to shoot in. You know, I find it hard to believe I would ever get tired of shooting in New York.
Yeah, there's almost too much. You know, should I be here? Should I go over there? You know, that might be more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'd love to go up there and have that problem.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I need to get up there. I really, really want to get up there. I miss my friends, and I really would love to get up there for a few days and do some shooting. I'm sure it's a lot different. I lived there through the 80s, and I know it's a lot different now than it was when I was living there.
But it's changed a lot just in the last 10 years. I think it's become so gentrified. It's safer. It's more comfortable to go a lot of places where you probably wouldn't have just a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, when I lived up there, I lived on Staten Island, but I spent a lot of time on the Lower East Side. In the 80s, that was a really happening place. It was, you know, the gentrification hadn't taken place yet. It was a rough-looking place, but it wasn't. Its bark was, you know, worse than its bite. And I had a ball playing. I was playing guitar as a musician. I was playing in the clubs and hanging out in that whole area. And the great food. It was cheap. Really interesting people. By the time I left, you could see where it was headed. You know, the East Village was going to look more like the West Village already did. And, you know, the clubs and things that I used to go to aren't even there anymore. So
do you still play music?
Yeah, I still play music. And that's kind of an interesting thing. I've been a musician all my life and have always played instruments. And I played trumpet and was a music major in college, classically trained, and fell in love with guitar in college and fell in love with blues music and lots of different kinds of stuff. But music is great, and it was one of the attractions for my moving here. But I have to say that it's a really frustrating thing to pursue. And one of the things that I really like about photography is that it's something I can go out and do on my own, by myself. Any musician here will tell you that musicians are among the most unreliable people on the planet. And to try to pursue your musical vision when you have to depend on other people as part of the picture is a real challenge. And it's frustrating. And I think maybe that's another reason why I like photography so much, is that it's an outlet for me to create without really depending on other people. I don't have to worry about you calling me and saying, well, I can't make it, you know, to rehearsal or whatever, you know.
Or not even showing up, right?
Yeah, that too. Well, yes. Yes, you're bringing back some bad memories, Bob.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I just heard another guy on a podcast. I think it was on The Candid Frame, and he was a musician. He was an attorney and a musician, and he's recently gotten deep into photography just because of what you said. It's something he can do on his own and not have to count on other people.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, it's true. And, I mean, I love music and, but it's just frustrating to, you can only play music for your own satisfaction for so long. And, you know, you're playing to yourself and your dog, and that after a while, you know, kind of gets played out. So yeah. And that's part of why I'm drawn to photography as well. It is a creative outlet, and I've always been someone who likes to create whatever, whether it's music or photography or whatever. So it's just kind of a logical thing for me to be doing photography.
I would imagine part of the rush of being a musician is seeing its effect on other people as they're watching you play.
Absolutely.
Are you able to get that type of a feeling from your photography? Or do you even care?
I don't get that feeling. You mean, do I get that feeling from others?
No, from, you know, maybe other people enjoying your work. Now, you can't see their face and you can't see, you know, them moving around or dancing, obviously.
I don't think too many people have really seen my stuff. You know, I have a blog. I have a couple of blogs. I have a blog on Tumblr, which is okay. I have a blog on WordPress, which I like better. And, you know, each blog, you know, there's a small group of people who regularly follow what I'm doing, and they will go on and, you know, they'll click the like button or sometimes make a comment. And that's great. I really like the feedback. That said, I don't get a lot of that. You know, if I post a picture on my WordPress blog, I might get 15 people that come on there and like it. And that's great. It's always nice to get some feedback, you know. At the end of the day, I'm shooting for myself. And I'm not out to please anybody else. I shoot because I enjoy it, because I love it. I don't feel an obligation to anybody else to produce photographs. If other people like my thing, like my photos, that's great. I'm my own worst critic, and I do have a few photos that I really like. The rest of them, I think, are okay. And again, going back to your golf analogy, it's enough to keep you going. It's enough to keep you going back out to want to do better and do more. But yeah, in terms of feedback from other people, I know when I played in bands, it was really, really nice to be on stage and playing and look out there and see a crowd of people who are, you know, digging what you're doing. And with the photography, it's not the same. And like I was saying, you know, you get some regulars on your blog that watch your stuff and enjoy it, and that's great. And it would be great if there were more doing that. But that's gravy, you know. I shoot for my own pleasure and enjoyment. And if other people like it along the way, then that's great. If somebody like you wants to do a piece on me, that's fantastic. You know, I think that's great. The exposure is great. Maybe more people will see what I'm doing, and maybe they'll like it too. So that's all icing on the cake, you know. It's great.
Well, you know, having a blog is – by the way, I work with bloggers. I develop websites for people, it's, you know, at first it's like shouting in the dark. You don't know if anybody's listening. And the people I see who are most successful are the ones who just keep at it and very consistent and kind of being true to themselves. And over time, people who like what you do start to find you. Hard thing is to be consistent and persistent when you don't feel like anybody's looking. And you don't get any feedback. So I got to hand it to you for keeping up with it.
Yeah, I think you make good points there. You have to just keep at it. And, you know, street photography, it seems like a lot of people are doing it now, but it's not a big draw, really. And I don't think anybody who's doing it, if they're doing it to please other people, they're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. And, yeah, I think you have to be persistent. You know, I guess my WordPress blog I put up last July, I think, and I really didn't do too much with it. You know, I had a few photos here and there, but since January, I've really, I try to get something up every day, and I think that's important if you want other people to see your work. You know, you got to make it show up in people's feed when they're looking through their blogs. And so if you have something there every day, somebody can click on it and look at it, you know, that's a good thing. I think blogs are, you know, a good idea to get stuff out there. But like you say, I think you have to keep at it and be persistent. And it's not like you're going to have a million people looking at your blog, you know, in a week or two. You know, I pick up a few followers every week, you know, a few people, you know, follow me. And I don't have a ton of followers, but, you know. You just do it. That's all.
That's right. It's the journey, not the destination.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you got into this without any expectations, without any objectives, which is really good. But so in the process, what's been your biggest learning experience out of all of this so far?
Oh, boy. Probably, I haven't thought about that too much, but, learning not to be afraid to take pictures, not to be afraid to get close to somebody, to take a shot. And I really don't have any problems with that. I take plenty of shots that are pretty close up to people. And you just have to expect that you're going to get a variety of responses to that, from, positive to nothing to, people maybe being put off. And that's probably a concern with a lot of people that do this type of photography, if they're starting out anyway. I haven't really had a big problem with it. But learning to see and just have an open mind. I mean, I try to go out there. I don't generally go out shooting with any kind of plan. I try to go out there. I don't want any filter between me and what I'm doing. So I go out there and I just try to keep my eyes open and my mind open. And sometimes it feels like I'm not able to do it enough. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but sometimes I feel like I must be missing something. There's something that I'm not seeing. But I try not to think about that, because the minute I do, I'm filtering myself. So I try to go out and just immerse myself in what's going on around me. And the camera is nice because I don't even think about it. It's attached to my wrist on a strap. It's in my hand. I see something, I move the camera and I take a picture of it. I don't, and that's important, to not have to think about the camera. The camera doesn't intrude at all on, mm-hmm. on what I'm doing. So that's nice. So it makes it easier for me to just kind of get into the flow of what's going on and keep my eyes open, my ears open too, and keep an open mind for what might be there to be seen. But I'm always wondering in the back of my mind, like when I get done, or when I'm looking at a photograph that I've taken, it's like, was I missing something? And sometimes I'll take photos of things, and I'm sure you've seen this with your stuff, and everybody has. You take a photo of something, and you see something there that you didn't even know was in the frame.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I took a picture last week, and it's one of my favorite pictures. And I don't even remember taking it. I don't remember the person in the woman's face. I don't even remember taking it. So I don't know what I was looking at in the shot. But it's interesting. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes you take a picture and you look at it and it's like, wow, I didn't even see that.
Oh, that's interesting. Is it in your Flickr photo stream?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And hopefully you'll let us put that in with the article.
Yeah, it's you want me to email that a link to you?
Yeah, you could do that. And if you could even describe it to me now, I know on Flickr they don't have the numbers aren't readily visible. They've changed things around so much in Flickr. I'm not particularly pleased about it, but I don't want to get off topic here. So,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I put the image up just a few days ago, and it's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the sixth photo if you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a woman looking right straight at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her pocketbook
up to her shoulder,
held her against her shoulder, and there's a cab in the background. I don't even remember taking that picture. I don't know what. I mean, maybe I was aware that I was taking it and that she was in the frame. I honestly don't remember that picture. Or maybe she looked differently when I was framing the shot, and by the time I clicked the shutter, she was looking at me. It was probably something along those lines. But I really like that photograph. I just like the way it looks. I like the contrast and the darkness and the expression on her face. She's just looking, you know, straight at the camera. And I really like that. But, yeah, I just try to keep my eyes open, and everything is interesting. Everything. And you know, it's, photography is a really rich medium, and there's so much there to see, and to try to keep an open mind and open eyes and ears to whatever's there. I guess that's the lesson that, you know, the lesson to be learned from me.
I like what you just said. Everything is interesting, because I think personally, when I can't see anything to shoot, I'm thinking, there's nothing interesting here. So if you could always keep that in your mind and believe that everything's interesting, you're going to find more to shoot. Is that true?
So. Yeah, I think so.
So how do you do that?
Mm.
Or maybe it's not a conscious thing.
No, well, you know, there are times when I'm out shooting and I'm, you know, and again, I mean, my perspective is limited here because I haven't really been doing it all that long. But sometimes I'm out shooting and I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. And when that happens, I just start thinking outside the box. And one of the things that I do is I start thinking like my dog. And I know that mm-hmm. sounds strange.
No, I don't think so at all.
I start thinking like my dog. I take my dog downtown every so often. And she loves it. She likes, you know, being on the leash and walking around with all kinds of people around. She digs it. And, you know, one day we were downtown walking, and I always have a camera with me in my other hand. And I was just imagining what it must be like for her from her vantage point and to see what she is seeing. So sometimes I will shoot from a lower angle like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I'm finding myself just, if, you know, like I say, if I'm just not feeling it, if I'm not seeing things, I just change something, the angle that I shoot. Maybe I'm just going to start shooting from my knees. Maybe I'm just going to, you know, hold the camera down and shoot up, you know, from my kneecaps and into a crowd of people and just, you know, see what I get. Just, you know, or hold the camera up over my head and just look down on a group of people and anything, just anything. And I guess one of the things about digital that is nice is that you can look at your what you've just done. I don't look at my monitor a whole lot when I'm shooting, but sometimes it's interesting to look at an angle that you've shot and, you know, get an idea of whether it works or not. And sometimes, you know, if I just get a couple of shots that I think look promising, then that kind of gets things going and gets the juices flowing and you just kind of get into the groove, you know. I go downtown and shoot sometimes. I don't really feel like doing it. Hmm. You know, I mean, but I feel like I have to. I just have this compulsion. It's like if I don't go, man, I'm going to miss something really good. And, you know, there's stuff happening down there. And if I don't go down there, I'm not going to capture it. You know, how many good shots have I missed because I didn't go downtown yesterday? You know, I just feel like I just want to get out and take pictures. I really want to get out and shoot.
You know? Yeah, that's a really good point.
I've taken a lot of pictures since I got this camera. I've taken a lot of shots.
You know, I mean, everybody says that the equipment doesn't matter, and basically it doesn't, but if it feels right to you, mm-hmm. if it's fun to use or if it's comfortable, you don't have to think about it, you're going to do it more.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it makes me a better photographer having this camera, but it's a better tool for me to get where I want to go. And, you know, when I get results that I like, it's inspiring. You know, it makes me want to go down there and shoot more. I love the camera. It's a fantastic camera.
Yeah, that's one of the few I haven't used, I think, but I hear so many good things about it. Yeah, before we go, I wouldn't mind talking about a couple more of your photos. And, you know, I had picked a few out ahead of time, but I noticed a couple new ones up on your site that I really like. And one of them, which really draws my attention, is the first one right now, today, as we're recording it. It looks like, I thought it was a photo of some silhouettes in a window. It might actually be a television screen. It's the very, very first one.
Yeah, that photograph, that's a movie theater.
Oh.
I went to see, I went to the opening night screening of Finding Vivian Maier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was at the Belcourt Theater here in Nashville. So I went down to see that and just sat in the back of the theater, you know, pretty much in the middle, and took a few pictures.
So how was the movie?
It's great. What a interesting person.
Yeah, very. I think that's a... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask if you'd seen it yet.
No, and I think it's going to be one I see by myself because I can't see my wife sitting through it.
I don't know. It's pretty interesting. I mean, it deals with photography, obviously, but it's also just a story about a person who led a really interesting life. It's just amazing how prolific she was. The amount of work that she did without anybody being aware of it is just that's just amazing.
Yeah, you talk about somebody who does it for their own pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, and the question that's asked throughout the film is why? You know, why did she do this? You know, I mean, all these negatives and all these unexposed rolls of film and all this output just, you know, stored away in boxes. And it's a fascinating story. What a strange and interesting person she was, you know. She had kind of a dark side. And then there was this whole part of her that was the nanny and very interesting, though. I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I took that picture. I took two or three pictures. Well, seemed appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. Why wouldn't you? Well, then there's the photo right next to it, and it's a picture of a sign by a door. And actually, one of my other favorite shots of yours is a sign by a door. No people at all, but of course, it was made by a person. It says, "Be kind. Everyone's fighting a hard battle." Plato. And I just like it. Obviously, you know, you take a lot of shots, but you posted that one. What's the story behind this one?
Well, the story with that one is that was not taken downtown. That was taken, that was taken in another part of town. That was taken in East Nashville, which is actually not far from where I live. But again, we're talking about one of those areas outside downtown where there's, you know, kind of a small hub of activity. And this is one of those areas. And this was just a back alley out behind a building. And I'm just walking around one day and walked out this alley and there it was. So that's how that came to be.
So speaking of signs on the side of a building, there's another one I really like, and we had published it a couple months ago as one of our Street Shooter of the Month photos. And it's somebody walking into a door with a sign that said "Restaurant Open," and you can just—he's almost all the way in the door. You can see his leg, and it's in motion. I think that leg is what really makes it. Did you recall the photo I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do recall that photo.
I love that shot. And I remember looking at it a couple months ago, and I said, "Oh wow, I really like this. We've got to see if this guy will make this a shooter of the month." So, what can you tell us about this one?
Well, that picture's a little older. I probably took that picture 3 years ago, when I was still shooting. I had a Nikon DSLR, and I was just out and about. And I know the place where this was taken. It was taken near a restaurant in town. Again, not right downtown. It was in another area where there's a group of stores and buildings and some activity. And actually, the man is walking into a men's room.
Huh.
And you can't really see make that out on the door. But, yeah, I took a couple of pictures. I think I only took two frames. And that one was the better of the two. And, yeah, I thought it was a nice shot, too, with just seeing that leg in motion and the door open. You know, where's he going? You know, the restaurant sign points the other direction, kind of. So what's this door and where's he headed? So, yeah, I kind of like that picture, too. I think maybe that was one of the nicest pictures I'd taken at that time. And something that, you know, kind of stuck with me in terms of that type of photography and, you know, enjoying that sort of thing. So yeah. that photo, I think, probably helped kind of steer me towards more, you know, street type shooting.
Yeah, because I really like the texture and the texture, just the graininess of the photo and the texture from the bricks and then that foot just going in the door. That just kind of pulls it all together.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I encourage anybody to go to your sites and look really at the entire body of work because you really capture a real sense of place, I think, of, you know, of what Nashville is like. And, you know, parts of it we don't see. I've never been there, but I'm going to get there someday. But it really does. There's another photo. We don't publish a lot of photos of homeless people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if this guy's even homeless, but there's a photo of a guy in front of a store, an Italian gourmet store.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's got a real nice grit to it. He's got a kind of a big beard and a rough looking face.
Yeah.
And I really like his expression and the way it's framed.
Well, he is a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
I do not make a habit of photographing homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a terribly interesting subject, number one. And number two, I mean, opinions vary on this. You'll find people that will take all kinds of pictures of homeless people. Personally, I get tired of seeing them. I don't find most of them to be very interesting. Secondly, I don't know, you know, there's a little bit of exploitation maybe going on with that too. But, you know, opinions vary. I'll photograph a homeless person if they're a part of a scene and if they, you know, if they add to, you know, if they're not the focus of an image, but add to the vibe of the picture, you know, I may, but, I don't, I mean, there are all kinds of homeless people that I could photograph and I really don't have an interest in doing that. There's so many other things to photograph. In this case, this gentleman was great, and I've seen him before. I had never photographed him. He absolutely loved having his picture taken and talked my ear off for a good half hour about things I mostly couldn't understand. But he was a great guy, and I must have snapped 20 pictures of him. And I haven't worked on any of the other ones, but there's some other keepers in there with him as well. But I thought he was very interesting looking, and I kind of liked that photo of him. I thought it turned out pretty well.
Do you do much post-processing of photos like this?
My workflow is pretty straightforward. I don't do tons of edits. I don't spend a whole lot of time editing my stuff, usually. If I get a good exposure, it's usually going to get processed pretty quick. Depends. I mean, it's not always the case, but most of the time. I shoot raw files. I use a raw processor called Raw Photo Processor. It's not a very original sounding name, but it's a free program actually for Mac users. And I haven't compared it to all of the other raw processors out there, but I've I've compared it to Adobe Camera Raw and Lightroom. I've compared it to Aperture and to Capture NX2. And it's the best RAW processor of that bunch. And I really, really like it a lot. And I've used it now for a year and a half or so.
Is it in the App Store?
No, it's not in the App Store. But if you just do a Google search for RAW photo processor, you will find it. And you can download it, and it's free. I don't know how many people use it. I think some people are put off by the user interface because it doesn't look anything like the other RAW processors that I've mentioned. It doesn't have a slick user interface. There are not sliders that you push around. You enter numerical values into boxes. And when I first tried it, I put it away after a day. I say, well, this is just not for me. And I guess about 8 months later, I said, you know, I'm going to get this thing out and I'm going to learn to use it. I'm going to tackle the learning curve and figure out how to use this thing. And ever since then, I've used it. I haven't used anything else to process RAW files. So anyway, I'll open a RAW file in that program. And they have some excellent film curves that you can choose from. There are four black and white film curves, and there are several color curves as well. They're not presets, really. They're just curves that you can apply to an image. And I generally apply a black and white curve to the RAW file right there when I process it. And when I'm done with that, I'll export it as a TIFF file. And I use Aperture. I bought Aperture because it was the cheapest program that I could find.
So you're the guy who bought Aperture.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. I know. I hardly do anything with Aperture. It's just kind of an interface. It's a gateway for me to get into the NIC software.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I finish. My RAW files usually are pretty much done by the time I export them out. So I export the TIFF file into Aperture, and I do very little in there. You know, I might level an image or maybe, you know, do a couple of minor things, but really I'm just going from there into SilverFX Pro. The image is already black and white, so usually what I'm just doing with SilverFX is just maybe doing some structure, some fine adjustments to structure, maybe your contrast. I have a couple of presets that I made up, you know, that are mostly just contrast, you know, related, structure related, and I might run something through those. And but I don't spend a whole lot of time with that. I pretty much get things the way I want them to look, you know, without too much messing around. I'm not crazy about spending a lot of time with processing stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
You'd rather be out shooting.
I sure would. You got that right. But it works good for me. I mean, I pretty much like what I get. You know, I'm pretty happy with the results I get from that stuff. So
well, I'm going to download it.
Yeah, check it out. Don't give up on it. you won't like the interface probably, but don't give up on it.
Well, I'm a geek.
Yeah, well, it looks old. It's like a really old user interface, you know, feel to it. You know, like I said, there's no sliders or and much of anything there. But once you figure out how to use it, I go in there with a RAW file, and if I don't have, you know, if it's a decent exposure, I'm done with that RAW file in a couple of minutes, and it's out of there.
Because I'll tell you what, I mean, I shoot the Fuji most of the time on the street, and the JPEGs are so good out of the Fuji, I rarely even shoot RAW with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing wrong with shooting RAW.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, JPEGs are great, too. Sometimes I use JPEGs right out of the camera. I'll shoot RAW and process a JPEG in this camera. It's amazing. I never thought that I would use in-camera processing on any camera. But this GR actually is pretty interesting to work with RAW files and edit them in camera. And once in a while, I get something that comes out that I just that's it. It's done. It doesn't happen often, but at the very least, I get an idea of how I might like something to be, and then I can work with the raw file after that.
Yeah, that's good. Keep it simple. Keep it simple.
Try to.
So, Jeff, we're coming to the end of our time here, and before we go, I just want to ask you a couple things. Number one, you've named a number of photographers, but any one person who's been a real influence on your work?
Robert Frank. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, definitely not.
You know, his stuff is great. Love Robert Frank, Winogrand, Henry Wessel. The Japanese, Daito Moriyama.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten more into that aesthetic. That whole provoke school is very interesting stuff. William Klein, Vivian Meyer. I mean, we haven't even seen most of her work yet, but she's right there with the best, I think. She's great. William Eggleston, I really like Eggleston. You know, we were talking earlier about suburbs and strip malls and that type of shooting, you know, not being all that interesting. You know, here was a guy who has some ability, at least to my view anyway, this ability to photograph those kinds of, you know, boring, banal images and make them interesting to look at.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. I'm going to have to go back and look at more of his work.
I like him a lot. His color work is great. His black and white stuff he did before he got into color is great, too. And he's also shot some video, early black and white video that's interesting to look at. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So, where can people find you? You said you've got a Tumblr blog, you've got a WordPress blog, Flickr. So, go ahead, give us the rundown on where you can be found.
Well, people can find me on Flickr if they just go to Flickr and type in G.L.Brown. That should bring me up on Flickr. And if they go to WordPress and type in my name, they should find me there as well. The same G.L.Brown.
Okay, so that's on WordPress.com then?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, good.
Actually, I think the whole URL, I'll email that to you, okay?
Oh, definitely. We'll have links inside the article.
Yeah. So they're really the only two places I have stuff. I have another blog on Tumblr, but I'm not really crazy about it. I keep it current, but I like WordPress a lot better.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
You on Google Plus?
No, I'm not. I haven't looked into that. You think I should?
It's the place for photographers. I mean, they've really made a move to attract more photographers, some very lively communities. But like I said, it's really hard to be everywhere. So you've got to pick your shots.
I'll look into that, and I'm also looking into publishing some zines as well, small photo magazines. I've been talking to printers and getting estimates on that.
Oh, wow.
So I'd like to do a series of Nashville magazines that would be affordable. I think I can do that. I've gotten some pretty reasonable estimates from printers, so I'd like to be able to offer that. Those publishing stuff, books and magazines, is I think that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I know some other people that are doing that. And so to be able to create something like that that's, you know, someone can physically hold in their hand, I think that's kind of nice compared to just looking at a link online someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that's in the works, and hopefully I'll have something like that coming along in the next month or two.
Wonderful. Well, keep us posted. Anything that you're doing like that, let us know. We're creating a whole section on the website for events and, you know, things going on in the field. So anybody, if you've got something happening, send it to us. And, yeah, you especially, Jeff. So, you know, if you start publishing those magazines, make sure you send us a link where people can get them.
I certainly will, Bob. Appreciate that.
Okay. Well, Jeff Brown, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. I enjoyed it.
Yep, same here. We'll hopefully talk to you again sometime.
Okay, Bob, you take care.
Thank you.